I got some Dramamine.
Now, wait a minute.
Wait, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen, listen. You need to hear me out. Let's take some before we record. Ed, we'll see if someone falls asleep.
No.
It'll be funny.
No.
I'm taking some right now.
No, and for the record, you don't need Dramamine to fall asleep.
One second.
For the record, too.
See, I know what you're saying. I was going somewhere. I didn't just say, look at the Dramamine. Look at it. Let's talk about it.
This proves exactly what you're doing. Whatever, man. Give me a second. Don't take actual Dramamine. I don't want to do this podcast by myself.
I took like three.
Stop it. Right now, I'm just trying to figure out if you're faking this or not.
Okay, I'm like
this is drug abuse.
I'm like a ticking time bomb now.
God, let's hurry up.
You idiot. You actually thought I did it. You idiot.
I wouldn't put it past you.
You idiot.
I don't know. You're that weird. Why not?
You idiot. You're so dumb. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for April 17th, 2012. This is Mike Minotti, joined by Agile Guy.
Yo.
How's it going?
Good.
How are you?
Okay.
What's up?
Nothing.
How's it going?
Well.
Is it okay?
Yes.
How well?
Pretty well.
That's good.
Yes.
We got news, right?
Yes.
News, then we're going to do, what are the odds?
Oh, man.
What are the odds? The odds and stuff. Then we'll do our weekend gaming, talk about Fez and other things. And get the releases, and that'll be the show. So what's the news?
Okay.
What's the news, dude?
So, tell me if you agree with this or not. The managing director of GOG, which is no longer stands for Good Old Games, by the way.
What do you mean doesn't stand for Good Old Games?
Well, because they sell new games, too.
So what does it stand for?
Nothing.
Can they just call it Good Old Games, though?
I know.
I'm going to call it Good Old Games.
Okay, anyway, the managing director, Guillaume Ramberg.
What nationality is he?
Finnish, aren't they?
Are they Finnish? I don't
know. Something Eastern European.
Sounds about right.
Anyway, he contends that heavy discounts on games are bad.
Oh, this thing.
Like Steam sales or the current 50% off all Interplay titles on GOG.com.
Well, no, he said 50% is fine, but like his problem was like what, 75% or 90%
yeah, 85.
Sales, which you will see on Steam. Basically, he's calling out the Steam sales.
Well, he's saying it devalues games. You think it does?
What do you mean devalues them? Certainly makes the value less.
Well, he's saying it creates a situation like where a lot of people, like when a new iPhone game comes out, they will not buy it until it goes on sale because they know inevitably in a month or two it'll be like a buck.
And it's kind of true, I guess. I think there was something just the other day you said you were going to wait for a Steam sale to buy it.
What was it?
I don't remember specifically, but you said something like that.
Okay, it's possible.
I mean, I don't know. I do always wonder how they get by with these ridiculous Steam sales.
Well, so you got to figure if it was hurting them, they wouldn't do it.
I mean,
like,
it's probably
I'm sure
great.
There's a return.
Well,
on
there's
it.
Some great. There's something good about having somebody play your game, even if they don't pay a whole lot for it.
Well, I know at least in the iOS world, the thinking is if you're on sale for a buck for a day and it puts you in that top list of paid apps, you'll float there for another week. Still, people will click that when you're back to full price.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I don't really know the economics of it. How they're able to do that. But there's a good chance Good Old Games just simply can't compete with a 75% sale. That's
right.
Maybe why they're saying things like this. But that's all I got.
Okay. Fair enough. So, this is quick. What are you... What the heck was that?
Go.
Bye, Mom.
Mom was pretending to punch you.
Which I'm sure you enjoy.
She was trying... Oh, she's... It looks like you're trying to attack
was she
him.
She dancing or trying to punch me? Which was it?
I don't know.
Those are two different activities.
She was trying to make me laugh, which was very immature of her.
Anyway, this will be relatively quick, I guess. But they announced that Halo 4 is coming out November 6th. I find it interesting because that's usually when Call of Duty comes out, like that early November time frame.
Yeah, haven't Halo's been coming out more October, September-ish lately?
When did Reach come out?
I thought Reach came out September.
You might be right, yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Halo's not the... It's still a mega franchise, maybe, but it's not the Omni franchise it once was.
Well put. That? It's not quadruple A.
It's not. Yeah, it's not.
As Microsoft is hiring for now.
Call of Duty still. Although apparently, Call of Duty, the last one, Modern Warfare 3, it's not been tracking quite as well as Black Ops during the same period.
Hmm.
So maybe we're finally getting to, like, the downward
the burnout on Call of Duty. They finally drove it to the
what's
ground.
What's going
to
be next? Black
Ops
2.
Do you
Ops
know how 2? Many, like, map updates they've done for that Call of Duty Elite? It's been, like, a lot. But I feel like it's been almost too many. Like, people don't even notice.
I mean, I'm sure if you play Call of Duty, you notice. I don't know. But, when Halo's coming out. It seems weird, though, because I feel like we still don't know very much about this game. I assume that a lot will be revealed.
Now, there was a mini info dump. I know, like, Cortana's dying or
care?
Something. A little bit. I like Halo.
I don't care.
You don't like Halo. That's why.
I played Reach. wait. What happened to Cortana? You need to explain this to me. What's Cortana's deal? Because she got sick.
Well, no. According to the laws of the Halo universe,
my vast database is updating.
Good job.
Right, go ahead.
All AIs eventually kind of hit like a critical mass where they begin to computationally implode on themselves, and that's starting to happen to her. Basically, the database gets too big and it can't process it anymore.
Well, how come in 3 she was like talking to you telepathically and was like kind
of?
Oh,
that's because she was being corrupted by Audrey 2 from Little Shop of Horrors.
What?
That thing that looked like the plant from Little Shop. I forget what its actual name is.
I didn't know that. There was,
remember, it was in Halo 2 as well.
I didn't remember that.
It was a big flood creature thing.
So that's why she was going on about the world ending and stuff.
Yes.
Which was cool, but it was cool without context. I don't know if it worked quite as well with the context.
Right.
It's like, oh, Cortana's talking all cryptic and stuff. It's
next to her is a giant flood creature going, feed me!
Yeah, not quite as good. I don't know. Halo 4. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how much other people care about Halo 4, I guess, is what I want
to
say.
More than anything, I'm curious to see what the first non-Bungie Halo is like.
Oh, that's true. I always forget Bungie's line. I wonder if anyone will actually notice.
You know, it's one thing they announced in the multiplayer that there's now selectable loadouts.
Well, there wasn't Reach.
No, but I mean, like, your weapon. You didn't get the... Did you? I guess you kind of did.
Yeah, they came with weapons. There were loadouts.
I guess, well, this is more like a Call of Duty style loadout selection.
So was Reach.
No, but Reach, you still had like predefined like five. Pick these five. This is like everybody can make their own completely unique one.
Sure, and then I think they're still going to have weapons in the middle of the map. They said. Everyone was going on like, "Whoa, look out!" I'm like, "Okay."
It's just weird.
So instead of everybody starting with a pistol,
I just hope that does it. I hope that. Does it mean that, like, unlocks are going to become weapons like Call of Duty? Because that's one thing I was like...
Exactly what it's going to mean.
But that's the worst.
Is it? I thought everyone liked
no,
that.
No, the thing
that's
that...
what every game does now.
No, but the thing, like, Halo's unlocks were always purely cosmetic. The weapons were always just in the map.
Yeah, well, you can get people to play your online game a lot more if there's, like, an incentive to play.
Yeah, they get the flaming skull. People love that shit.
Yeah, well, you know, not now they want weapons. You know, what I hate is that there's, like, a story reason for the multiplayer again. It's, like, training for the
fun. Yeah.
I was like, what is this trend?
Like,
where
it can exist in a microcosm. It's fine.
But, yeah, what's this trend? Like, Bioshock 2 first did it. It's like, oh, this is the Civil
the
War.
The fall of then, Rapture, yeah.
And Assassin's Creed's like, oh, we're training our Abstergo agents. Like, look, you don't need to explain. Okay, it's the multiplayer mode.
Right.
It doesn't need to fit with the plot. Mass Effect, same thing. All right.
Because it's not like they were saying, like, we got this story to tell. About these trainees. How do we tell this story? Multiplayer.
Oh my gosh, so obvious.
That is not the order.
No.
We need to contrive a reason for multiplayer. No, you don't, but if you must. Training?
Yeah, like, who cares?
They're all training.
Yeah, they're
training.
What? Because they're going to capture something really important of ours, and we're going to have to go and get it back and bring it back to our base. So like, we'll use these flags as stand-ins. But it could be whatever, you know? It could be a document, a briefcase,
yes.
A file, maybe even a girl. It could be all sorts of stupid, dumb crap, but right now it's a flag, because that's what we got. Plus, it's fun, you know, carrying the flag around.
People with the flag.
Yeah. Capture that flag. Is there ever a game just called Capture the Flag? I want to make a Kickstarter for
Well, there was the CTF mod for Quake, which is kind of what popularized it.
I want to make a game called Capture the Flag. And it'll be a Kickstarter campaign, and it's not a multiplayer game at all. You're just a kid in, like, a forest, and you just have to go find a flag. You have no idea where it is. I just designed a game.
Well, let's put that on Kickstarter.
Did you see this thing with I might try to contact this guy. A Kickstarter campaign for like an old school JRPG, the guy said. And he got $20,000 or $25,000, and he had $20,000. The guy was making a game on the RPG Maker. And he has no, like, this will be his first game. And he's using, like, free tile sets.
Really?
So he was honest about all this. I think everyone just didn't read. I think, like, basically, I don't want to say he scammed people. But basically, people gave him $25,000 to make an RPG Maker game. And he's like, yeah, maybe it'll be done by 2013. Like, late.
Shoot, we could figure that out.
Yeah. He's like, oh, it's good. And he, like, got some concept art. He called it Something of Eternia, even though there are already games called Something of Eternia. So, it's interesting.
More power to him.
But, yeah, it was going to not be too long.
I wonder. What's going to happen if one of these Kickstarter campaigns falls through? Like, you give the money, it gets funded,
and
it goes underway. Either the game doesn't come out, or it's absolute crap, or...
Oh.
It completely shifts direction from what was originally promised.
It'll be interesting, like, once all these Kickstarter games start coming out. Like, what if Wasteland 2 is terrible?
Right.
No one likes it. You see the guy, Al Lowe, wants to remake the original Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah, they're already Kickstarting that right now.
Right. I never really got that series anyways.
Yeah, we never played it
but
much.
He wants $500,000. To remake Leisure Suit Larry. I don't know why it would cost that much. And, like, the stuff he has on his video doesn't look great. So, I don't know.
Leisure Suit Larry never had a great art style.
Yeah, well, I feel like you could just make a new game for $500,000. I don't know. Anyways, next.
Okay. Well, one game that won't be coming out November 6, 2012, or any time in 2012, for that matter. You know, Cooney, delayed.
Well,
early 2013.
I mean,
it's not that bad.
Right. When was it supposed to come out? Just to see.
Winter 2012. Yeah. So, get it out of the winter.
But they did a big media event for it. The embargo and the previews actually went up today, so a lot of people have been writing about it.
The trailer is
And we had
great.
The trailer. The first trailer with the English voice acting. And it, like, well, Disney always handles the Studio Ghibli movies, and they always do a great job with the dubs. But it looks like it is a high-quality dub with this.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to have, like, the celebrity talent, but they're at least getting good voice actors.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because you have to keep up that legacy. I mean, I think this is going to sell more to Studio Ghibli fans than it does to, like, Level 5 fans, or even JRPG fans. It's going to be people who like these movies. I mean, the other ones will come to it as well, but I think that's going to be most fervent crowds.
Right.
You have to kind of... You know,
I mean,
match what's already out there,
right.
At least.
That's why I'm automatically buying it. And the game just looks gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
That art style just kind of really captures that look. I mean, you have, like, the actual 2D animated, like, cutscenes, which is great. And it looks exactly like a Studio Ghibli film. And, of course, it, like, starts with, like, a little boy crying because his mom is dead. So, yeah, you got... there you go. Heartstrings are tugged.
Yes.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
I like the one character in your party who looks like a male porn star or something. You know, did you see him in the videos?
I might have missed that.
He looks good. He kind of looks like Linebeck from Spirit Hourglass. Was that the one Zelda game for DS? Phantom Hourglass. Spirit Tracks, Phantom Hourglass. Yeah. Looks like Linebeck a little bit. Who I liked. Linebeck was a funny character. All right. But Ni No Kuni looks great. I don't care if it's delayed as long as I get to play it, which I will.
Okay. So, apparently, Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, visited Valve.
Interesting.
What could it mean?
I mean, he could just... Well, I don't know if he would just visit them for fun. I don't know.
This comes after the posting that Apple is hiring for hardware development, and then the revelation that, like, we're doing, like, exploratory R&D on a wearable computer... We're not going to be announcing anything. This may not even lead to anything, but that's what's going on. So don't think we're making the Steam box again. So you think the two might be related?
I don't know. Maybe it could be something like they want to put Steam on the next Apple TV.
That's almost my thought is it's going to go in that direction. Just, I mean, but even if that's the case, like, first of all, I'm surprised Apple's willing to share revenue like that. Second of all, like,
I mean they're just visiting.
That would mean you have to make, like, all these games, like, another version that runs on what's essentially iPad hardware.
Right. Yeah, the whole thing is... I mean, there's so many things that could be... It's fun to speculate, but I don't know. I got no idea. It could be nothing. Could just be, hey, I want to go to your office. Nothing. Like, okay.
Now, here's what has me excited from this week. Bethesda revealed that a patch enabling Kinect in Skyrim is coming.
This excites you that much?
It does. This is exactly what I said I wanted. Then they had it that Game Jam video, and now it's happening.
There you go.
So you do all your dragon shouts. You can hotkey spells and items to different words. You can give commands to your allies. You can sort and go through your inventory and all the menus. And what I think is really cool, you can quick save and quick load, which you don't have on the console otherwise.
I've been having that for quite a while.
I know. Now, what I found interesting is I posted my excitement about this on Twitter. And I was met with a lot of negativity. A lot of people, their response was, oh yeah, because I'm going to feel real sweet talking to my TV. That just made me think.
How sweet do you feel when you normally play Skyrim?
That's what I was going to say. When did we get so self-conscious?
I don't know. That's always been my, that was always been the least of my concerns.
I mean,
I'll tell you what, I was back when I was playing Phoenix Wright, man, I care where I was. I was screaming objections.
Yeah, and I can see if you don't want to, like, talk to your iPhone on the bus, but...
Who are you afraid of looking dumb in front of?
Well, I noticed everyone who said this had significant others living at home with them.
They're living with them at this point.
Exactly. They're not going anywhere.
I don't know.
But no, I mean, I freaking can't wait. I think it's a great idea. I'm happy.
I think it's silly to get self-conscious about it.
Yeah.
In any event.
Between
I mean,
the Wii and Rock Band and all the other stupid shit we've had hooked up to our TVs.
If you just think it's dumb for the sake of being dumb, okay, but don't be, like, self-conscious.
Right.
All right, next.
I found this super interesting. You know, every weekend they run these Mass Effect multiplayer events on the Xbox and PC versions of Mass Effect 3?
Yes.
The reason they're not on the PlayStation... Sony will not allow BioWare to run an event on the PlayStation Network that's being run on other online services.
Interesting. Weird.
So their option is either run it on the Xbox and PC or run it just on the PlayStation.
Well,
guess which two add up more than the other.
I like how Sony makes decisions that hurt themselves and hurt themselves.
So they're like, yeah, we're trying to work with it. Like, and BioWare, apparently they must have got enough complaints. They want to be like, look, it's not our fault.
Right.
It's these dicks over here.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm. Because they're fun. I like it when they do those. It just gives you a neat little incentive to go back and play some more.
I was playing some of that more, actually, this week.
Yeah?
Just because there's a couple new maps and new characters.
Yeah, I didn't get to that yet.
It's basically a head-shooting game.
Yeah.
Like, I can't... Is there a good reason to not just use a sniper rifle? Unless you're, one of those Krogan people who, charge at guys?
Well, fire rate and things like that. Fire speed. If you get, swarmed.
Okay. I don't know. Seems like you just always want to run away from them and then get distance and shoot them in the head again.
Yeah, I know.
But that's kind of what happens with a lot of these horde modes. Next.
That's it.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
What about that Bethesda game that was announced?
Oh, yeah, we were just talking about that.
Yeah.
You know more about it than I do, so take it away.
I don't remember the name. I thought you were top of this.
Dishonored, yeah.
All right. It was funny because they posted a teaser image, and a lot of people thought this was going to be like the Skyrim DLC is going to be announced today by Bethesda.
Hmm.
But it's this Dishonored game, and there's a teaser trailer for it. It's all CG, but basically it's steampunk Assassin's Creed. With powers, I want to say. I don't know. Almost like Bioshock-esque kind of things. Like, slow down. I don't know if you can slow down time in Bioshock, but just, push through the door, slow down time, shoot three bullets and resume time, and it kills everybody, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. But I think, the video was in first person. But it looks neat, but just looks... It's very much like we're going to put a bunch of other games together into one pot, and here's this new game with an incredibly... generic name like Dishonored, but it could be neat.
Who's making this?
This is Arkane Studios. They did Dark Messiah of Might and Magic.
That's it. I knew him from somewhere.
Which wasn't a huge success. They also helped with Bioshock 2, but a zillion people helped with Bioshock
right.
2.
Right. I think I was credited in Bioshock 2 somewhere.
But
you know what this reminded me of too when you mentioned it?
Yeah.
Did you see the CG trailer for Resident Evil 6 that came out this week?
No, I didn't see that yet. What's wrong?
Here's my thing.
You never have anything good to say about Resident Evil anyways.
I'm excited for this one because,
No, you're not. You're never...
For the reason, give me a second, that, it seems like they're actually trying to modernize the gameplay a bit more, moving and shooting.
Yeah.
So, that's what I'm curious to see. But this CG trailer was basically like, hey, you know that convoluted plot that makes no sense that we've been building for the last 20 years? Here's more of that. And I'm like, watching.
I don't like that. You don't like that.
I know. I'm watching the trailer. I'm like, this does nothing for me. Like, except for like that 2% of like diehard Resident Evil fans, who's going to know what the hell's going on?
Like, the Resident Evil game I liked was 4 because it was in a microcosm.
Exactly.
It basically had nothing to do with the plot of the series.
Can we agree that if there's any franchise that could use a narrative reboot,
yeah,
it's Resident Evil?
Probably. All right. You see, well, you didn't do the MPDs even. What?
Mass Effect sold a lot. I don't know.
Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City was number 2. I was kind of surprised.
Really?
Yeah. I was surprised. I was shocked.
I heard it's not good.
Yeah, it's supposed to be terrible. But I don't know. I guess Resident Evil still has some weight to carry. All right. You ready for this, then?
Yeah, bring it.
What are the odds? Are you ready for this? All right, first one. Odds that the Wii U will have a 5-year life cycle.
Well, so we're buying in that's coming out end of 2012, right?
Yeah.
So let's say we get new Xbox, PlayStation hardware earliest 2013, for sure by 2014. That will presumably blow it out of the water. Unless people are like, oh my god, playing a console game with a tablet is the greatest moment of my life. No, they're going to have to do something else.
That is kind of the interesting thing here, is that they will always have the option if this, like, is kind of a big bomb somehow, like the whole tablet thing does not work out. They could always just be like, all right, we're just going to make a new system real quick. Though, you know, it's obviously going to cost them a lot of money, but they could afford to. They got enough of that Wii money. They have enough of that Nintendo Entertainment System money.
Yeah.
Saved up. But
it's just like,
I think it's very possible.
The thing is, though, at that point, what do they do? Do they go back to just making another similar to the other's console like the GameCube was? Because I feel like at this point, they've already removed themselves so much from that market that to get back into it would be really hard.
At some point, if they have a big enough failure in the one direction, which the Wii U is kind of the successor of, like, the Wii direction, where it's a lot of gimmicks and we don't need strong, big hardware stuff or online features, presumably, and that kind of thing, then they would probably go in the other direction. Maybe they would try to become the leader in things like digital distribution and online gaming, and, you know, maybe they would start to innovate in that direction again.
You hear yourself.
Well, I'm just saying, if they fail in the one thing, that's what they're going to do.
I guess.
Mean, the reason why they made the Wii is because the GameCube didn't work, like you're saying.
Yeah.
So once they'll just switch tracks again, and maybe this will work for a while again for them. I'm just like, you're saying the Wii U will be the last Nintendo system. I'm telling you that can never be, because even if this fails, I can still make another one.
So you're saying they'll be stubborn about it?
Well, they're not going to be stubborn about it. They're just going to say, okay, crap, we'll just be really first for the next generation. Or I don't know if they could. I don't know what you would even consider it. But I think there is a possibility that the Wii U, if it doesn't work out, it could have like a 3-year, 4-year
life cycle. It's
going to
be like Xbox X.
It could be like Xbox One-esque. Worse Dreamcast-esque, but it could happen. So I don't think there's a great chance of it still. I think the Wii U will still probably sell fine enough. So I'll say 80% chance it has a 5-year life
cycle.
Yeah,
I'll agree with that. I mean, they'll have the luxury of being the only new hardware out for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
People will be like, oh, like, I already have an Xbox and or PlayStation 3. Sure, and they'll get it. But then, like I said, a year or two later, when the next stuff comes out, I'm like, oh my god, I'm buying that, and I'm never playing the Wii U again.
Yeah, I mean, they'll always have the benefit of being Nintendo, and they have those Nintendo games,
right,
and that kind of brand recognition. I wonder if they'll be first place again. I don't know.
No.
Okay, odds that Prey 2 will be released.
God, we still haven't heard anything
about
it.
Yeah, we haven't heard
anything
about it. That's what you're saying. So
I'll put it at 75 optimistically.
Yeah, I'll go like 50. I'm being pessimistic because I'm trying not to get my hopes up too much. I don't see any good reason why the game should be canceled.
I know.
Unless like
something really went wrong behind the scenes.
I don't know, because it just looks so good. But God, I hope they're. But the fact that they haven't said anything in a while, like, almost makes me a little bit optimistic. But, I mean, if it's not shown at E3, then I'll be worried.
Right.
Then I'll be like, yeah, this is done. Alright, that was fast. Odds that the first Mario game for the Wii U will be a 3D platformer.
No, it's going to be, I think they already said, it's going to be like the demo
they
showed.
Say. They never said that.
Oh.
Everyone's just assuming that. Well, because Shiggy basically said recently, talking to somebody, like, oh yeah, there's going to be a Mario game in a Pikmin game for the Wii U at E3. I don't know. I feel like I still think it's going to be a 2D game. I think it's going to be new Super Mario Brothers.
Well, A, it's a lot easier to make those, and B, that's sold more, so.
That is weird, that new Super Mario Brothers.
But how is it going to work, though? Because so much of the appeal of new Super Mario Brothers is the multiplayer, but the Wii U, far as we know, still only works with one tablet controller.
I still refuse to believe that.
But then how much are they going to sell those tablets for?
I don't know. But, well, if everyone had just their own, kind of like with the Wii controllers, where you had your Wii controller and you just took it over to your friend's place and had your character on it.
Yeah, that's assuming a lot, though.
Yeah, well, hey. Well, and you can always just do it so that you can play with the Wii remote. Although, like, the tech demo they had, and you, like, went down a pipe, like, the screen transferred to the tablet, which was cute. It was cool. It was cute. I don't know if it really did anything.
Assuming that it does work with multiple tablets, can we get I wouldn't mind getting another Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, and one that plays a little better, maybe.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there are some cool possibilities of four people playing a game on a tablet controller and on a giant TV. A lot of things could happen. You could essentially do split-screen gaming without the split screen.
Yeah.
Which would be kind of fun. Maybe we could see a return of couch gaming. Maybe not, though. Maybe that ship's sailed, but yeah, I'm going to say 90% it's a 2D platformer.
Yeah.
So 10% is a 3D platformer, I guess.
I'll go 95.
I wish it was a 3D platformer.
I'll go 99.
I wish it was a 3D platformer. It is kind of weird how New Super Mario... I mean, I guess I understand why New Super Mario...
It's easier to play. You give both of those to a 6-year-old, and guess which one they're going to do better with.
Yeah, but the other one's so much better.
I know.
They need to learn. They need to... See, we're like...
Kids are soft these days.
Yeah. They got to move up. All right. Odds that Star Wars The Old Republic will be free-to-play before the year is over. So, if you've been hearing the rumors that apparently a lot of people are getting fired at EA, like 500 to 1,000.
Yeah, they deny it.
No, they didn't deny it so much as say, oh, it's like restructuring. So basically, people are fired. They just don't want to use the word layoff, which, even though that's what happened. To blame, apparently, are lower-than-expected sales of Battlefield 3. Now, Battlefield 3 sold a lot, but I guess they put so much money into it and marketing it and trying to make it a Call of Duty killer, which was a lot of, that was stupid. A lot of wasted money. You just can't market blitz your game. I mean, yeah, marketing blitz your game, I guess. Does that make sense as a term?
Well,
you know what I'm trying to say?
You're over-marketing it.
Yeah, like a little just too much. Like, everyone knows that Battlefield 3 is out. We don't need to see 50 commercials a day.
Especially that stupid 99 Problems in a Bitch Ain't One trailer, because that terrible song was relevant.
Yeah. So Battlefield 3, it's still sold a lot, but they still may not make money on it. And apparently Old Republic is underperforming for them.
Now, I don't know what they were thinking.
Are they probably thinking that they were going to compete with World of Warcraft?
I mean, they got 2 million subscribers, and it's only been, what, 4 months, 5 months?
I think they had maybe. I wonder how many people are still playing.
That was the subscriber numbers.
Right
2
now,
million.
That's
the subscriber number. Last I heard, yeah, that's pretty good.
Are you currently subscribed to the game?
Yeah.
I'm not. I think I'm done with it, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. I think I'm done. I mean, you've been playing the Mists of Pandaria beta,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'll talk about that later.
But seriously, though, like, what are you going to play when Mists of Pandaria comes out?
Well, that, because it's new.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, maybe after that there'll be a... If they're smart, they will definitely alternate their expansion packs to come out not the same time as the Warcraft ones. But I definitely think they thought maybe they would take a bigger market share. I mean, Old Republic had to be an incredibly expensive game to make.
No, yeah, it was.
I don't know if you can make that money back with 2 million subscribers. Just with all the development, all the voice acting, all this, all that... You know, let's throw in a
if you figure
out.
$60 and a pop, and then $15 a month, and
yeah, but there's also maintenance. I mean,
yeah, I know.
When you do that money, I feel like Blizzard should be like kings of the universe with the money they make from Warcraft. But somehow, I mean, they must be needing that money for something. Or else they would have just taken over the world by now.
I mean, I've always seen the MMO market now as a fight for number two. Like, no one's going to beat World of Warcraft.
I mean, we say that, but somebody could. I mean, why not?
Yeah, you know who's going to? Blizzard.
Yeah, probably. But, I mean, that's... I really do think that was their goal. Especially inside BioWare. It's like, yeah, we're going after World of Warcraft. I bet if you asked them, they would say that. We're going after World of Warcraft.
So you're dealing... But the thing is...
That they did.
It's not just going up against a game. You're going up against... of community. You're going up against time investment. You're going up against, I mean, first of all, you know, a game that will run on a computer from 2004, so that helps. I mean,
I still think they made the big mistake of being too similar to World of Warcraft. Way too similar. I will agree.
I mean,
especially once I think like.
Well, and I think they overestimated the market's desire for storytelling. I mean, that's my favorite thing about SWTOR is the story aspect of it. But I still think a lot of people just want to grind to level 50 and then raid. Like, even though that's not what that game is built for at all.
But the problem is, it does turn into that after you're done with the story. And I feel like then it's just World of Warcraft.
I feel like what they want you to do with this legacy system, which they finally kind of more fully put out in the latest patch, they want you to get to 50 and then make another character and get a bunch of characters 50 going through all of that story content. Because, I mean, have you? I'm guessing you didn't, but have you seen what's in the new 1.2 patch legacy update?
No.
This was stuff they talked about for months before the game came out, and they said it wasn't going to make launch. But you get, like, a legacy score amongst all your characters, I think, on a server. And what you can do with that is you can actually get some abilities from other classes on your new characters if you have, like, a level 50 of that class.
That's weird.
So you could have, like, a force-sensitive smuggler who can maybe do some force pushing. Or you can have a purebred Sith Jedi Knight.
Okay. That's a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just feel like they're... I mean, I feel like they're not doing as well as they want to do at all.
Like I said,
I feel like they're doing pretty good. I think
the similarities to WoW and the gameplay especially are what create the expectations of WoW in a player head. But I feel like that's really not what they were going for.
I think they were definitely going for WoW.
They were going for WoW's money and market share,
no,
sure.
They made a game that basically is WoW.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, the gameplay part of it. But I think like, the way that you treat the experience, that's not what they wanted.
And they did themselves a disservice by saying,
well, we'll make it play like WoW.
Look, the whole thing is still about gear, then it's WoW. It all comes down to gear. But yeah, go back to the question. I don't think they're going to go free to play.
No, I don't either.
So
5% for me.
maybe 20%.
I'd say pretty low.
It's kind of an admission
of defeat to do it.
Yeah, a little bit. All right, last one. Odds that Valve will release a console ever.
Huh.
Ever.
I don't know. I don't see the benefit to them for doing it.
Well, there's money. There's, why would anyone make a console?
I guess it ultimately depends what their take is on a Steam sale.
Their thought is that they could do it better than everybody else.
But the thing is, if they did it, they would not, from what they've said, they wouldn't make it something that could only play Steam games. It'd still basically be a standardized PC configuration, so you're not even guaranteeing software sales on it.
I'm sure they would figure out how to monetize it. They can sell you hats or something. I don't know.
I feel like, the only thing you'd see hardware-wise from Valve would be, again, some sort of standardized PC specification backed by an exclusive version of Steam that almost acts as an OS overlay to a version of Windows.
So you don't think it would look anything like a console as we know it?
Basically, it would be more about an OS that is Windows-based with a very extensive Steam graphical user interface that is exclusive to that hardware that you cannot get unless you buy the hardware. Like, it's not something you just download on any Windows
PC. And
you
run it on TV.
Yes. That I could see. But I don't even think Valve would be manufacturing the hardware. They'd probably give the spec and license it to someone like Dell or HP.
Or Apple.
So if we're to think that eventuality, I'll go 60%.
60, I'll go 50.
But if we think, like, Valve is going to open up a plant and manufacture hardware, zero, frankly.
Yeah. All right, that's that.
Well done.
All right, good. We'll talk about Fez.
Fez! My brain, it hurts just thinking about it.
I know. It's cool. Well, it's neat because, I mean, we all know about the whole, you know, you twist the world and the perspective of the platform. And that's all very cool and neat. And the game, you know, looks good, sounds great. But the interesting thing is, like, all of this kind of, because there are cubes you can get, like, you collect cubes, like, yeah, them as the stars. There's cubes you can get basically by just exploring. And then there's
also 32 anti-cubes, and these are real.
They're really hard to find.
It's kind of like that's the real game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because they require you to solve some like real hard puzzle. Like you have, there's like a language in the game. There's clues everywhere and how to decipher it. It is like a you need to take notes kind of game.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten 3 treasure maps. I have no idea what they mean.
Right. It's like it's almost like Myst meets Mario.
That's what I was gonna say. The game it most reminds me of, strangely, is Myst.
Yeah. Very much. It's got that sort of exploration.
I guess just like from all I've seen of this game over the years, I didn't realize how cerebral it was going to be. I figured it'd just be like kind of like a very clever platformer, but really that's almost the most insignificant part of the game.
Yeah, it really is. Pro tip though, you can't get all the anti-cubes on your first playthrough. You have to do the new game plus.
Oh, really?
So when you get 32 cubes of any kind, go and quote beat the game and then start the new game plus.
Yeah.
Which kind of was weird to me, but once you do the new game plus, like it's. You're basically, you know, you have all the cubes you had before. You don't have to get them all again. Yeah. But it's weird. Basically, I'll just tell you, I mean, you get, when you do New Game Plus, instead of getting the Fez, you get sunglasses, which allow you to go to first-person view.
What?
Yeah, which is interesting.
Whoa, my mind is blown.
You get to stop and look around.
I know.
But still. So you need that to solve certain puzzles.
Wow, that's cool.
But I mean, there are times where like, I'll be in the, like a room and it'll be like, there's a secret in this room. And I'm like, wow, there's nothing
So is that why you couldn't find anything in that room, you think?
Maybe. Well, it has to be. I think that one has something to do with me not knowing the language because there are like things on the wall. I think that sometimes you'll like see little boxes with like a little hole in them. Maybe at the look through them. I don't know. I'll figure it out.
There was one puzzle. I don't know if you came across this. You get to the top of like a little whatever. There's a stone block with a few different arrangements of 6 squares, and littered around the top of this hill or whatever are 6 blocks. So I was like, okay, I can arrange these blocks in these shapes. I don't know which one's good, but I'm going to try one just to see what happens. So I got them to make, like, a Z, and I accidentally threw one of the blocks off the edge of the world. It respawned somewhere else, and then all of a sudden I got an anti-cube. I don't know what I did.
God, I don't even know this puzzle.
I don't know what I did, but I solved the puzzle by mistake.
Well, good job, Ashguy.
So that was cool.
But it's
really I also really liked that we had to scan a QR code at one point.
It's neat, but what happens if you don't have, like, a smartphone?
Well, it's kind of, it reminds me of when you had to look up Meryl's codec on the back of the box. Like, yeah. What if you didn't have the box?
To
Google.
I was like, really? I was like, AJ, get down here. Scan this. All right. But, I mean, there's not a whole lot to say, but basically you just need to play it.
Oh, yeah, you totally do. And $10 is a steal. It's a great game.
So how's Mists of Pandaria?
Mists of Pandaria is, it's amazing. Just when you think like, wow's done, they do something like this. You're like, holy crap. How do they keep coming up with this stuff? So I've played through the Pandarian starter area as it exists in the beta, playing through it with a monk. So the first thing you notice right away is how good it looks. It's an almost 8-year-old game and it looks amazing. Because not only is their art style so good, the animation is amazing. I mean, just the running animation of the Pandaren looks fantastic.
Hopefully they redo that for all the other races.
Yes, they need to, because there's going to be a big gap in appearances here. Basically, you kind of feel like you're playing Kung Fu Panda, the MMO, to a degree, which is fine. But just you commented on this while I was playing, and you're right. You look at stuff you do in SWTOR, and you look at stuff you're doing in this, where you're, like, jumping from, like, balance beams and, like, fighting other pandas and, like, sparring contests, and if you land in the water, you turn into a frog. Like, it's crazy. Right. It's just so inventive.
And every quest in Star Wars, once you get past the fancy, like, talking dialogue, they are almost all either fetch quests or kill as many people.
Also, if anyone else has played through the beta will know what I'm talking about, expect to see little plush dolls of the 4 elemental spirits very soon.
Oh, really?
You have to, like, part of the whole trick is you're finding these 4 elemental spirits. You could go talk to the giant turtle that you're riding on. They're cute. And you're like, oh, that's going to be a plushie. For sure.
So is this, do you think it's the new best starting zone?
I think so, because the one thing that, like, the goblin starting area did, it made you almost too important.
Right. It kind of
And
did.
So it didn't make sense in a way. This one comes close to doing that, but stops just short enough that it works. what's really interesting is how they introduce the Alliance and Horde into the experience. It's very cleverly done. Where basically an Alliance ship filled with Horde prisoners wrecks onto the island. And, you know, you're kind of helping out both sides because you don't even know they're enemies yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually you do make the choice. Now, one thing I should have done, because I'm going to do Alliance for real. I picked it. I should have done Horde now just to see what it's like. But, you know, after you pick, then you go to the starting city for that race, either Stormwind or Orgrimmar. And it's like, you're walking through Stormwind. People are like, oh, Pandaren. Like, I thought they were a myth and, like, crazy stuff like that. It's cool. With my Pandaren, I decided to spec this one as a tank, so it's a brewmaster.
Oh, cool.
She like throwing giant jugs of alcohol to like weaken your enemies and things like that. It's great. Let's see. I'm trying to think. Is there anything you want to know?
Does anything change about your character when you pick Alliance or Horde?
No. That's purely a faction choice. You get a little taste so far of the new talents system in the game. Basically, it's not too dissimilar from what SWTOR does, where once you hit level 10, you pick your advanced class, except you basically have three of them to pick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's most pronounced with the brewmaster, or the monk, because you have a healer, a tank, and a DPS tree. But you think,
well, there's a lot of classes that are like that now, where they have, like, DPS, healer, tank, druid, is the same exact thing.
Death Knight.
Death Knight. No, Death Knight doesn't heal, though.
He doesn't have a heal. He has, like, with two different DPSs in a tank.
There are very few that are... I think the only one I can think of immediately that is, like, that only has one role, why am I forgetting the name? The assassin... Not assassin. Rogue.
Rogue.
Brain fart, sorry. The rogue can only do DPS. Same thing with the hunter. They can only DPS.
But even how they do it changes.
Right, yeah. Like, for the hunter, you have, like, the one that's more pet-focused, one that's more range-focused, one that's more melee-focused.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of other questions. When you have to make that choice between Alliance or Horde, is one side specifically a good guy?
No. There's two different kind of disciplines within the Pandaren society. The Hojin, and I forget the other one. But the Hojin tend to be a little more brash. They use more brute force in their decision-making. They get things done more quickly. They're kind of the one who goes to the Horde. The other one is more meditative, more spiritual.
So
they're the ones who go Alliance.
So is there a whole, like, Pandaren Civil War thing going on with it?
It's not even on the island. Like, what happened? And as I was finishing this, the game crashed. So I didn't get to completely finish this yet. You go to an audience with King...
Wyrn. Varian Wyrn.
Yeah, him. And he, like, has you go, like, for a walk with him. So he's, like, telling you, like, look, here's how it is. You're in the Alliance now. Like, you're now expected to fight for men, dwarves, and goblins alike. Or not goblins, gnomes. And you know, just as if they were a Pandaren. Here's the other thing. It has reached my ears that some Pandaren have joined the Horde. These are now your enemies. I don't care who they are, if they're family, friends, loved ones. I will not have, you know, cross-faction relationships, basically. So he kind of, like, spells it out for you, like, you hate these guys now.
Interesting.
Then you have to spar him. That's where the game crashed.
Oh, that's cool.
He's like, I want to test your might. I'm like, okay.
They've been doing a lot of that, like... And I do like how World of Warcraft has pushed the main characters of you as you would is more important. And they're involved a lot. Is Grom Hellscream still the chieftain?
I don't know.
I really need to
play this.
Like I
said, I didn't do Horde. Also, you automatically gain your abilities as you level up. Hallelujah.
That's so good.
It's great. That was strangely fantastic. I guess you'd say, too, the monks, the way they play, it's cool. You have energy like a rogue would, but then you also build up chi. It's kind of like the combo points that in Diablo 2, the melee class. Who was it?
Monk.
Was it monk?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, same thing. You know, you build up chi with some attacks, and other attacks spend the chi.
Mm-hmm.
You get, like, this really cool, like, shadow kick and things like that. I mean, again, the combat animations for the monk are so good. Just watching them fight is
now,
just cool.
Do you have, like, a worry, kind of like with the other expansions, where after you kind of do that, then all of a sudden you're doing old content again?
Well, right. You're dumped back. I mean, at least it's Cataclysm stuff, so you may not have necessarily done all of that.
But interesting, because a lot of the Cataclysm stuff was very tied into the story
of Cataclysm. Yeah, I'm curious to see how they actually handle that now.
Like,
I'm sure they'll just do some minor rewrites and make things in the past tense.
Maybe. I wonder if it'll even be that at all, because, like, you know, when you go to Outland right now, they still pretend it's like, yeah, Illidan, blah, 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 you know?
Yeah, which is weird.
And they always kind of said, it's like, look, we don't know how to address that. It's just kind of how it is, you know? Just the sort of realities of leveling up. Although I guess you could always just make your Pandora and then get a Scroll of Resurrection and become level 80 right away.
Yeah, that's true. Well, quit the game for 3 months, then get a Scroll of Resurrection.
Right. Because your starting area, that's not really on Pandaria.
No, it's on the back of a giant turtle, which is really cool looking.
Right. So, that's what I'm always interested in. Like, when I get, I know I'm never going to raid again. When I get the expansion, I'll probably make a Pandaren monk, mess around a little bit. But I'll mostly just want to, I'll do those new zones with my Death Knight and all that stuff.
Now, that's the thing I can't talk to. I mean, you can transfer characters in the beta, but I don't even have anything high enough.
Oh.
But well, yeah, there's going to be 85 to 90 content, which should be good.
Well, sure, yes.
Well, like I said, I mean, the aesthetic of this world works great. So well. Right. It's great to finally see the Pandaren not be this joke anymore. Like, okay, they're real.
Right. It's like, yeah, get over it.
They've always kind of sort of been there.
Do you have anything to say about the people who think that they are too silly?
Oh, they're awesome. Those people are dumb. The pandas are super cool. I like them a lot.
They're
I think
not
they
the
look
silliest
great.
Thing in World of Warcraft.
No, they're far from it.
All right. Anything else you want to say about that?
I mean, I World of Warcraft... No, I think that kind of does it.
Right.
I mean, what's nice, I find this nice, in the beta, like, some of the cinematics aren't done yet, so it just says, like, cinematic here.
Right, right.
So at least I have something to look forward to.
Right.
Let's see, I finally got my own acceptance into the Diablo 3 beta. Well, I played a Witch Doctor. It was great. Fun.
I got a Vita.
Yes, you did.
With my tax return money. I've been playing through
How are them Uncharted's?
It's great. I love Uncharted. It's weird how Uncharted-ish it is, you know, I guess.
Do you agree with all the complaints about the touchscreen and all
to
that?
To a degree. I mean, it's kind of like a little groan-inducing, like, oh, wow, I got to do this. I don't know how much it really detracts from the experience. I don't know if I hate the game because of it, like some people. I think some things work better than others. There are moments where, like, you have to do charcoal rubbings and stuff. I think that's cool. I think it gets annoying, like, a lot of the... I think there's like 50 times in the game where you have to like hoist somebody up and you have to like swipe up on the touchscreen. I don't know why that's necessary. I still think that like tracing over obstacles is kind of cool. And like, other stuff like that, like using the back touchpad to like climb up a rope. That stuff's cool, but I also like that, you know, you can just climb up regularly and you probably will just start doing it after a while once you get over the gimmick. There was one neat one where I had to hold up the PSP, like the back of it, to a light source to read a piece of paper.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I literally had to put it up to like that light on the ceiling right there.
It can tell that? Oh, I guess it uses the camera on the back.
But so
you call it the PSP?
Yeah.
How dare you?
Well, it looks like a lot like a PSP, doesn't it? What do you want? But I really like it. And I like the new characters in the game a lot. Drake is still very funny. It's very Uncharted-y. I like it quite a bit.
Good.
I do enjoy this series. It's pretty long, too. I thought it was kind of ramping up towards an end at one point, but nope. No, I am not. I bought Persona 3 Portable on there, but haven't touched that yet, not until I beat Uncharted, so I'm pretty much done. You done?
Played more Xenoblade.
How's that going?
It continues to be great.
Excuse me.
But yeah, I mean, at this point, it's just more of the playing.
Right.
So, yes.
All right, ready? For the releases?
Oh, real quick. I keep forgetting this, and I apologize to you, Dammy, but Dammy I still can't say your name, too, so again, I'm sorry again.
Anafawakan.
He's been commenting on our Facebook page, and I keep, like, making a mental note to read these, and I keep forgetting to do it. But he had some quick thoughts on last week's show, where we were talking about basically how gaming journalists have been bastards lately.
They've been jerks, yeah.
Yes. So he says, I too am really baffled at the clear rift that has emerged between games journalists and gamers concerning the Mass Effect 3 ending. Although some gamers went overboard with their vitriol, I read so many game journalists who acted in a snobbish, deriding, elitist manner towards their passionate audience. It was kind of disgusting. I mean, he's right.
I mean, I think there is an elitist problem with a lot of these guys.
Yeah, we may be entitled, but they're elite.
Yeah, honestly. Like I said, I've heard a lot of things where a lot of game journalists, sometimes they're just, you know, they're not star-eyed anymore by it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much they realize what their job is, how happy they should be, and how kind of maybe just annoyed by games they are sometimes. And how much they probably, and I think there is a large, I think they really do loathe their audience sometimes because, you know, you look at the comment sections of things at Kotaku, and they're like, oh god, this is my reader base, even though that's a probably a small percentile. If I was them, I would focus on the readers who don't comment.
Right.
But you know, you get a comment from this guy, like he says the word fag 15 times and doesn't know how to use a comma to save his life. You kind of get like, what? This is my job.
What am I become?
Right, and you become a little resentful towards it. Then you hear like, oh, they want the writing to change. And one, you are a writer, so you feel like this need to defend writing, and you hate your audience. Well, guess what you're gonna do?
Yeah.
All right.
Also, he says the GameCube rules all.
Yeah. Well, I have a soft spot for the GameCube, but come on. All right. This week we got Witcher 2 Assassin's of King Enhanced Edition for 360.
Oh, I guess I should say. So CD Projekt Red was very generous to send us a copy of this game for review. They were giving I think like 1,000 copies to amateur reviews, like people with blogs
amateurs.
And stuff.
What?
Yeah. And I filled out the application, used the podcast as my vehicle, and they accepted it. So hopefully that'll be coming in soon. We'll get to talk about that next week.
Trials of Evolution's coming out to Xbox Live Arcade. Are we sure there's not
Wait,
some sort
it
of...
is?
Yeah.
I thought it wasn't.
What do you mean it wasn't?
Oh,
why?
Trials. I thought they said tribes.
No, trials.
You need to enunciate.
Trials Evolution.
Yes. That should be awesome.
Are we sure there's not like a like Summer of Arcade going on right now? Because they're releasing a lot of good games. No? Disgaea 3, Absence of Detention for the Vita.
They're still making these?
Yeah, well, 3 came out for PS3 already, I think.
Oh,
like
okay.
Plus
that's
version.
Right.
Well, of course, they're still making them. Like, I'm always kind of interested in this, just because I never actually played these, but
I played the first one a bit. It's super hardcore.
Might be fun to have a turn-based strategy RPG for the Vita. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That Burnout Crash thing is coming out
for iOS. It came out. Paging Dr. Beep.
Yeah, that's about it, actually. All right. Well, that's the show, everybody.
Kind of a light week.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can also follow us on twitter.com/explodingbarrel and facebook.com/explodingbarrel. Please check us out in the iTunes Music Store and leave us a review. We greatly appreciate it. It helps us out a lot. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye.
Bye.
I thought you were on top of this.